Jesus' name, amen. The text is the lesson just read with special reference to the final two verses, the words of Gamaliel. If this counsel or this work be of men, it will be overthrown. But if it is of God, ye will not be able to overthrow them, lest happily ye be found even to be fighting against God. Dear brethren in Christ, Gamaliel is one of the judges of the people of God, of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has, from the beginning of time, set various people to be judges over his own people. The psalmist said, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause before an ungodly nation." We ask God to judge us also through the various judges whom he has placed in this world, including also Gamaliel. Let's call upon several of these judges. 1,000 years before Gamaliel, there was a young man, Odysseus, with his wife, Penelope, who lived in an isle of the Adriatic Sea on the west coast of Greece. The war between Greece and Ionia broke out about this time, and this young man, in love with his wife and his child, did not want to go to war. And so he feigned madness. And to prove this, he hitched a mule or a horse and a bull together before his plow. And he began to traverse his field, kitty-cattered, crossing one way and the other. And in the furrow which the plow made, he seeded salt instead of seed. Everybody thought he was really gone berserk, except the head of the draft board, who came out to visit him. And he checked this man, Odysseus, and he grabbed his son from the arms of his mother and laid him in the furrow before the mule, before the horse and the bull. And a sure thing, Odysseus gently detoured around. Well, Odysseus went off to war, to the Trojan War, and became, of course, the hero of this war. It was 20 long years that he was gone. 20 years he left Penelope and his son. And during these 20 years, many, many gallant young men came to sue the hand of his wife, Penelope. Again and again they would say, "Why, he is dead. He is a prisoner of war. He is sold into slavery. He will never return." But Penelope remained faithful to her marriage vow. She remained faithful to her husband. And until the very end, she resisted the hand of one suitor after another. This beautiful story of human nature, but of divine virtue as well, is told us, of course, by the poet Homer. Homer lived 3,000 years ago, 1,000 years before Christ. Homer, blind, led by a child, is one of the men who judges us. 1,000 cities claimed the Homer dead, through whom the living poet begged for bread. But Homer extolled the virtues, the Christian virtues, those virtues of fidelity, especially that fidelity between husband and wife, the like of which we have seldom seen since that time. Certainly, Homer, like Gamaliel, stand in judgment of us, stand in judgment against our race. I shall not mention what he says about the debilitating influences of drugs and of alcohol and the sorcery of sex and the like. Homer stands as a judge. We call another judge. He lived 400 years before Christ. Again, born and practiced and lived on an island on the other side of Greece in the Aegean, the island of Kos. He said, "Life is short, art is long." He became the father of modern medicine. He is the one who observed in his medical practice, he observed the extreme selfishness of men. He noticed especially how selfish the women were becoming. They didn't want children. They wanted to live in pleasure, in passion, but they didn't want children. In fact, they were so selfish that if they could not abort their children before, they would, upon delivery, give orders to the midwife, "Et baleen, throw it out, expose the child, I do not want it." Hippocrates saw the wrong in all of this, and he made his medical students take an oath, and this oath is in part, "I swear, so far as power and discernment shall be mine, I will carry out regimen for the benefit of the sick and will keep them from harm and wrong. To none will I give a deadly drug, even if solicited, and especially I will aid to give, I will aid no woman to procure an abortion. Into whatsoever house I shall enter, I will go for the benefit of the sick." Yes, these pagans, like the citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah, will rise up in judgment against this wicked and perverse generation. Let's call upon another para-theologian, not a Christian, but one who stands as a judge against us. His name is Plato, again about 400 years before Christ. Plato speaks through the mouth of Socrates. It was Socrates' total endeavor to demonstrate how and what a good education consists in. He said that a good education is not expertise in a certain number of skills to do this and that and so forth, but a good education, it consists in developing the entire man, the intellectual, the physical, the emotional, and above all the moral man, so that he knows what truth is and what the difference between right and wrong is. Socrates was opposed in his views by a group of people known as the Sophists, people who peddled a kind of morality of relativism. These Sophists said there are no absolutes. You cannot make any assertion, any proposition. You cannot state a doctrine. You cannot formulate a creed, because nothing is black or white. It is all in the gray area. Socrates so infuriated these Sophists that they finally brought him to court, to trial, and they had him sentenced to drink the hemlock. "If I do not die, my teaching will die," just like a greater than Socrates said after him, "except a kernel of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it will bring forth fruit unto harvest." These men stand as judges to us in our generation. We could go on to bring to the fore hundreds, yes, and literally thousands, who, like the very stones, will cry out to sing praise and glory to God. We could even mention somebody as brutal as old Gaius Julius Caesar, who was and wanted to be known for his clemency and who practiced the principle of vicarious death in his management of the government and particularly of the army. We come to Gamaliel. Gamaliel, like Caiaphas in the Sanhedrin before him and the high court before him, Gamaliel is one of our judges. Gamaliel judged the disciples. Caiaphas had said it is expedient that one man die and not the whole nation. And this he spake as high priest. Gamaliel said that if this thing be of God, who can stop it? If it be of men, let the men alone. Give them enough rope and they will hang themselves. Gamaliel, too, was saying the kingdom of the Messiah will go on. If this is the kingdom of the Messiah, nothing can stop it. If it is not the kingdom of the Messiah, it will indeed come to naught. So, whether Gamaliel was caving in from pressures from without, or whether he was, like his most illustrious pupil, St. Paul, actually being converted, or whether he, in his sense of justice, was simply saying, this is the way to avert wrath, and above all, the wrath of God, we do not know. But Gamaliel stands as one of the judges of us in our generation. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Amen.